واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا.
Greg is a very provocative guy. He is widely read by many people. He's the author of a couple of books, one called Prophet of Doom, Islam's Terrorist Dogma in Muhammad's Own Words. His first book was Tea with Terrorists, and believes that Islam is the source of terror and explains why Muslims kill. And you know, every time we've had Craig on the show, we've always invited somebody from the Islamic community to come on with him. And no one ever will. We've tried. People have said they'd come on, then they don't, then they back out. And it's frustrating for me because I don't know the Quran. I've never studied the Quran. I don't know the intricacies of Islam. I know a lot of kind, loving Muslims who don't seem to be inclined to want to kill me because I'm the infidel. And yet Craig maintains that those aren't very good Muslims, that good, devout Muslims understand jihad and all of that. And we've had Craig on this show before to describe that. Now, finally, and I got to give credit to the group of Islamic leaders we met with a couple of weeks ago who helped to make this happen, because it was a very productive meeting. We had some pizza. We broke bread. We sat around a table. I met with representatives from CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. I met with the Islamic Center of Irving, Texas. I met with some NAACP representatives because they expressed concerns and they wanted the opportunity to meet with me in person, and I did. And it was, frankly, if it did nothing more than lead to this broadcast right now, I am eternally grateful, because joining us on the line is not only Craig Wynn, author of Prophet of Doom and Tea with Terrorists, but also Jalal Abu Aroub, who's a Palestinian with dual Jordanian-American nationality. He has authored and translated dozens of Islamic books. He is currently writing The Prophet of Mercy, which is in response to Craig Wynn's Prophet of Doom. So it is wonderful to welcome Jalal Abu Aroub to the Mike Gallagher Show. Jalal, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you could join us. Thank you very much for your time. Well, it's my pleasure. Craig Wynn, author of Prophet of Doom, welcome back to the Mike Gallagher Show.
Hello, Mike. Good morning.
I'm glad you guys could both spend some time with us. Thank you, both of you, for joining us. Now, let's do some ground rules here, okay? I want you both to have all the time you feel you need to express your point of view. But, Craig, I've never spoken to you, Jalal, until now. I've spoken to you, Craig, many times. Craig, you tend to be a little verbose, a little lengthy, because I know you've got a lot to say. Both of you, if you can, try to remember that we're a bunch of dopes here listening to both of you. We're laymen. We don't know the Quran. We don't have the nuances that you guys will have. So please keep it in layman's terms as best you can. Is that fair?
Yes.
Great. Let's start with a very simple question. I'll ask you both the question. We're going to start with you, Jalal, then we'll have Craig respond. Jalal, is Islam a religion of peace?
Islam, by definition in Arabic, it doesn't mean peace. It means submission to the will of God. It's not, if you're asking if Islam is pacifist, it's not. But if you're asking is Islam terroristic or violent, then it isn't. And today, I'm thanking you for your courage to invite me today, because I'm going to challenge Craig Wynn to say something that's very, very direct and simple, and that is, I'm going to ask him to answer this question. Where does it say in the Arabic Quran, I mean Arabic, a language that he doesn't speak a word of, where does it say in the Arabic Quran, or in the prophetic Sunnah, meaning tradition of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, just one verse, one prophetic statement, where it says the following: go kill civilians in war, target women and children, explode yourself, commit suicide, hijack something and fly it into a building full of civilians, go to churches and explode them, kill priests and monks, and go to synagogues and burn them down to the ground.
Okay, so Jalal is saying, Craig, that there's nothing in the Quran that suggests that Muslims are instructed to do any of the things we've seen terrorists do in our lifetime.
Yeah, first, Islam simply means submission. The interpretation that it means submission to Allah is implied, but Islam simply means submission. Second, as it relates to Islam, it is true that Islam does not mean peace, which is a grotesque perversion of the truth that is often advanced by many people in the media. Here is what the Islamic scholars who translated America's most popular English Quran had to say the first time jihad was used in Allah's recital. Their words, not mine. Jihad is holy fighting in Allah's cause with full force and numbers of weaponry. It is given the utmost importance in Islam and is one of its pillars. By jihad, Islam is established. Allah's word is made superior, which means only Allah has the right to be worshipped, and Islam is propagated. By abandoning jihad, Islam is destroyed, and Muslims fall into an inferior position.
All right, Jalal, what is jihad?
First of all, Islam means submission, regardless of what he says. He doesn't speak Arabic. He has no idea what he's talking about.
But he said that.
Secondly, jihad means to struggle. It doesn't mean to fight. Let me give you an example. Prophet Muhammad said, the mujahid, the one who does jihad, is the one who does jihad against his own self. If it means fighting or committing a suicide mission, how do you suggest I make jihad against myself? By choking myself to death? Jihad doesn't mean to fight. It's one of its meanings. However, he didn't answer my question. Where is that verse in the Quran or prophetic sunnah that says, go kill civilians?
Craig?
I'd like to answer that question, but first let's just deal with jihad. Kind of funny here that I just said that Islam means submission, and he confirmed what I said but disagreed with me, which is kind of funny. Here's in Prophet of Doom.
The line here is that.
I'm going to deal with jihad.
Okay.
In Prophet of Doom, the entire book, which is probably the most comprehensive, most chronological, and best documented presentation of the formation of Islam and the words and deeds of Muhammad as they are revealed in the earliest Islamic scriptures. I organized the book chronologically, but at the end of the book, what I did is I also organized the most important Islamic verses by context. Under the context of jihad, I have some 300 or 400 quotes from those Islamic scriptures defining what jihad is according to Muhammad. And what's interesting is that all of those quotes have jihad in a fighting context. Jihad is ordained for you Muslims, though you dislike it. By the way, the translators of the Quran, when jihad was mentioned, said it's holy fighting in Allah's cause, though you dislike it. It's possible that you dislike something that is good for you and a thing, and dislike something like something that is bad for you, but Allah knows and you do not know. Warfare is ordained for you. Not equal are those believers who sit home and receive no injurious hurt. That's therefore going out to fight.
Right.
Those who strive hard, fighting jihad in Allah's cause with their wealth and their lives. Allah has granted a rank higher to those who strive hard, fighting jihad with their wealth and bodies,
and
those who sit home.
All right, Jalal, there's nothing in the Quran about killing infidels?
Absolutely not. Without justification, without war, without being in a battle, absolutely not.
Well, wait a minute. Would Muslims consider occupying or assisting Israel as being justification, for example, for war, for jihad?
Excuse me, I didn't get that.
Would Muslims consider our alliance with Israel as provocation or justification for jihad? In other words, you said without provocation. Well, I've heard many Muslims say that our aid and comfort to Israel is justification for jihad.
What do you think if Cuba occupied Philadelphia or occupied Florida, I'm sorry? Does this mean that you have to fight them or not? I mean, if America...
Well, if Cuba invaded Philadelphia, I got to believe we'd fight back.
Okay, the same thing happens with Muslims. Do you think they have the right to fight back if anyone, including Muslims, invade their land? You mean, listen to me. Some Muslims, many of them, supported Kuwait when Iraq invaded, even the Iraq were Muslims,
mm-hmm.
on the basis of jihad. Jihad doesn't mean to unjustly kill civilians.
All right, hang on. Both hold your thoughts there. Craig Wynn, Jalal Abu Arub, join us here on the Mike Gallagher Show. Have you two ever spoken before?
Nope. I challenged him to a debate last year, and he called me a moron.
Hold on, you're both.
You exchange hundreds of words by email exchange, which you can go and listeners can go to prophetofdoom.net and read under the debate forum.
Okay.
The words that Jalal and I exchanged.
And Jalal's website, by the way, is www.islamlife.com. So we got a debate, we got dueling websites, we got two points of view, and I'm grateful to both of you. And hey, I'm glad that this is the first time you two have spoken in person. A little bit of history being made here on the Mike Gallagher Show. We'll continue. 1-800-655-MIKE is our toll-free number if you want to join in on this conversation between Craig Wynn and Jalal Abu Arub. We'll continue debating, trying to analyze, trying to understand what Islam really means as the Mike Gallagher Show continues. 24th past the hour, it's the Mike Gallagher Show. One of the very difficult questions about the war on terror is, what does Islam really say about jihad, about terrorism, about what a lot of these Muslim fanatics claim is their religious duty? And I'm awfully pleased that we have two guests to debate that with you here. Craig Wynn, author of Prophet of Doom, Islam's Terrorist Dogma in Muhammad's Own Words, and Jalal Abu Arub, who's the author of Prophet of Mercy, which is being written in response to Craig's book. Jalal, let me just ask you, I know, Craig, you want to address something that Jalal said a minute or so ago, but I must ask you, there's been much said about the perception that there has been a lack of outrage in the Muslim world until only very recently regarding the terrorism we've seen. Do you think that perception is accurate?
It's accurate if you want to hear the Western media, because the Western media did not emphasize the fact that so many scholars of Islam, and actually the next day of 9/11, I gave a speech at my own mosque in Orlando, Florida, and the people can remember that. I denounced that. I've been saying it even before 9/11, that terrorism has nothing to do with Islam. And I challenged them to bring a single quote in the Quran that calls for these acts in specific.
Okay.
I mean, directly.
Craig?
And he never answered that question.
Craig?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. But again, I'm required to confront a point that Jalal just made. Barak, who would be the senior Islamic cleric in Saudi Arabia, said this: "I am against America. She is the root of all evils and wickedness on earth. Muslims do not take Jews and Christians as allies. Muslim brothers do not have any mercy or compassion on them, their blood, their money, or their flesh. Their women are yours to take legitimately. Allah made them yours. Why don't you enslave their women? Why don't you wage jihad? Why don't you pillage them?"
Jalal, what about that cleric? What about that cleric? Wait a minute. What about that cleric saying that, Jalal?
That's not a senior cleric. Actually, the senior clerics of Saudi Arabia have denounced that man and his statements. Plus, Barak is not the Quran. Why can't he quote the Quran or the prophetic sunnah? That's what he needs to do, not quote fanatical Muslims what they say.
I mean, Craig Jalal says that these are just fanatics saying those kinds of things.
That's the reason why Barak was the host of the telethon hosted by the Fahd family for raising money for the Palestinian terrorists in Israel. Now, let's quote from the Quran and from the Sunnah.
Okay.
First, in the last surah revealed in verse 574, Allah defines unbelieving infidel as Christians. Surely they are infidels who say that Jesus, the Son of Mary, is God. So those would be Christians.
Are we infidels, Jalal? Those of us who are Christians?
We are. You to us are the same as we are to you. Does it say in any Christian doctrine that Muslims have a chance to go to heaven if they don't believe in Jesus as the Lord and Savior? This is hypocrisy. You don't consider us. Christians do not consider us believers in God. Why do you require us to believe in you that you are believers in God if you have a different creed?
Don't go away. This continues on the Mike Gallagher Show. We also have two distinct voices in the dialogue and debate about what Islam really means. And I'm very grateful to Craig Wynn, author of Prophet of Doom and Tea with Terrorists, who joins us on Newsmaker Line number 1. On Newsmaker Line number 2, Jalal Abu Awud, who's the author of The Prophet of Mercy, which is in progress. His website is IslamLife.com. Craig's website is ProphetOfDoom.net. Jalal, let me start this section with you.
Okay.
Craig maintained, you mentioned something a few minutes ago that intrigued me. You referred to the Arabic Quran. Is the Arabic Quran different, or does it instruct possibly differently than a Quran that might be translated into another language?
The translation, as you know, it's meant to be simple. It's not a depth. And it is the choice of the translator, actually, not the choice of the Quran. The Arabic language is much deeper than you can imagine. Any Arabic word can mean a host of things.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when we translate it, we seek simplicity, you know, so people can understand. But that doesn't mean that's the whole story. I mean, what he did, he rearranged the Quran. The Quran is in Arabic. How can you rearrange it? You don't even understand the language. You have access to translations, which is the choice of the translator.
So, Craig, is there a problem with the way you've translated the Quran? Because I know you've said many times you've spent thousands and thousands of hours studying the Quran. If you don't speak Arabic, what language did you study it in? I'm sorry, Craig. Start over again, Craig. I had your button pushed down. I apologize.
The Quran is actually written in an ancient form of Arabic called Paleo Arabic. It was written long before there were vowels in the language, and therefore there are maybe 500 people on the planet at any one time who actually understand Paleo Arabic. It's as different from modern standard Arabic as Latin is from Italian. Second, rather than depend on one person's interpretations of the words in the Sirah, the Takrith, and the Hadith, as well as the Quran, I have 12 different Qurans. I used 5 of them in rendering the translations in Prophet of Doom, so they would be as accurate as absolutely possible. And the scholars who made these translations, for the most part, agree on the terminology. And by using 5 of them, it becomes evident as to what the intent of the message was. One last thought. The fact is that we all speak English here. On this radio show, if we were all gibbering away in Paleo Arabic, not a single soul on the planet would know what we're talking about.
Jalal?
He just doesn't make any sense. The Paleo Arabic he's talking about, my children here who are living in America can understand it very well. We read the Quran exactly as it was read before. What he's saying doesn't make any sense. If there are only 500 or were 500 people who understand it, how can he understand it then? How?
I mean, how have you translated, Craig? I guess Jalal's point is, he claims your translation is dubious at best.
Well, first of all, I just told you, I didn't translate the Quran. I relied on 12 translations of it, 5 of which comprised the translations in Prophet of Doom. Second of all, if you will read the appendix of Prophet of Doom, which is called Islam's Dark Past, you will find scholars of every ilk from generations current and gone by who confirm precisely what I just said in terms of the different nature of the language that the Quran was revealed in without vocalization, which means that it cannot be pronounced in the form that it was originally written. And therefore,
what I said is classically accurate.
All right, go ahead, Jalal.
I want to make a note. He's talking longer than me. Let me speak.
You go right ahead.
What he's talking about is different. The way it was written before is different. The words are still the same. We recite the Quran every day in our prayer, and we understand exactly what it means. He doesn't make any sense. We understand the Quran perfectly. And secondly, the translators or the scholars he's talking about, none of them said that Muslims can commit suicide or kill women and children in war. That's what he's avoiding answering. Where is the quote in the Quran that says kill women and children? Final thing, this is what I want him to say. I want him to say the Quran says, the Lord said, slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass. This is 1 Samuel 15:2-3. Bring something in the Quran similar to this.
Okay, Craig.
I'm not going to get into a discussion on comparative scriptures, but what I will do, because I would take far too much time today, let me read three examples.
I mean, he keeps saying, is there anything in the Quran that prescribes that Muslims should kill innocent women and children?
Yeah, what he said is Quran and Sunnah. Let me read three examples of ongoing terror that's prescribed either individually or collectively
in the Quran,
from the Sunnah, which is the Quran and the Hadith accounts. First, before the last break, I used the Quran's definition of infidel as Christian. That's how it defines infidel. Now, Allah has sent you from your homes to fight for the cause. Allah wished to confirm the truth by His words. Wipe the infidels out to the last. And wipe people out to the last. You have to kill every one of them. That is not discriminatory in terms of men and women. Here's a quote from the Surah.
Which book did he read?
That's the 8th Surah.
The 8th Surah, Jalal.
I have the computer on.
A quote from Ishaq. This would be the Sirah, which is the biography of Muhammad, the first book really comprised of the Prophet's words and deeds.
Where is the quote,
Craig?
It's in the 8th Surah. In fact,
verse?
Which verse?
I can look up the specific verse, but the 8th Surah is dedicated to war and fighting. And if we'd like to read the whole Surah, I'd be happy to.
Lord, how long is that?
It's too long.
All
right. You don't want to hear that.
All right, go ahead, Jalal. The 8th Surah. What do you say about the 8th Surah?
There isn't any quote like this. He's just making it up. Look at verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 190. This is what jihad is about. Fight in the sake of Allah. Those who fight you, وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا, do not commit aggression, because Allah doesn't like the aggressors. He's looking for this word. Kill them wherever you find them. Kill them here, this is one paragraph. It refers to those who fight you. He's making it as if it is about Christians and Jews. By the way, infidels in Islam means non-Muslims. It doesn't mean only Christians and Jews. He's just making this up, but there is nothing in the Quran that says it's only Christians and Jews. What he's talking about is just doesn't happen. It's not in Islam. Fight in the sake of Allah those who fight you. Do not commit aggression. Kill them, meaning those who fight you.
Craig, are you just making this stuff up?
No. In fact, I present every word of the 8th Surah in the context that it was actually revealed, which is the Battle of Badr. And in that battle, which Muhammad went down to rob a caravan and ended up confronting the Meccans, this Spoils of War Surah was revealed. So I reveal it in context, and I reveal every word of it, verse by verse, with commentary.
Yeah.
Can
you say he robbed the caravan? You forgot that the verse says exactly, drive them from where you have driven you out. They were kicked out of Mecca, and their properties were taken by force by the Meccans.
Mecca. They chose to leave Mecca. But be that as it may, when they met,
wait a minute, were they kicked out of Mecca, or did they want to leave Mecca?
No, they were expelled from Mecca. It says, drive them from where they have driven you out. It's talking about Mecca.
Yes.
They kicked them out of their homeland and stole their property. That's why he went after the caravan, not to rob it.
There is no evidence that the Meccans stole Islamic property, but there is considerable evidence that Muhammad specifically went after the Meccan property. In fact, the Battle of Badr happened because Muhammad said that the caravan containing the Meccan goods would be easy prey.
No, that's not right.
All right, it's not right, Jalal?
No. Because in the Quran it says they have conspired to kill you or drive you out of your hand, of your land. And secondly, you have to understand they were kicked out of their homeland. And when Muhammad came back and conquered Mecca years after that, he was told, why don't you take back your house that used to be yours? He said, the infidels took it. I can't take it from them anymore.
All right, 15 before the hour. Are you both up for taking some phone calls? Because we've got a lot of people who want to pick both of your brains. Is that okay, gentlemen?
Thank you very much.
All right, don't go away. Craig Wynn, author of Prophet of Doom, on one of our lines. Jalal Abularoub, author of The Prophet of Mercy, on the other line. And your calls at 1-800-655-MIKE are next here on The Mike Gallagher Show.
I don't know.
10 minutes before the hour, we're in the middle of a good conversation here on the Mike Gallagher Show. We're joined by Jalal Abu Awoob, author of The Prophet of Mercy. He's a Palestinian with dual Jordanian-American nationality. He authored and translated dozens of Islamic books, and his website is www.islamlife.com. We also are joined by Craig Wynn, author of Prophet of Doom, Islam's Terrorist Dogma. He's believes that Islam is not a peaceful religion. His website is www.prophetofdoom.net. Jalal, I see that you are a Palestinian. I don't even think we have enough hours in the day to ask you about what you think about the Gaza Strip withdrawal that's going on right now, huh?
It's good from one side that the Palestinians will finally get rid of the invaders who stole their land. But on the other hand, I think it's going to be a long-term trouble for the West Bank, actually. Because look how difficult it is to remove a few thousand settlers from Gaza. What about when it comes to the final solution for the West Bank? Who's going to move all these hundreds of thousands of people who stole land that doesn't belong to them?
Craig, dare I ask?
Well, yeah, I love the term final solution. It's reminiscent of Neville Chamberlain's acquiescence to where he gave for the high ground of Czechoslovakia to the Nazis, claimed peace in our time. When we abandon Israel and force her to give up Gaza in the West Bank, the world will come directly to the brink of World War III.
Thanks. Well, that'll be our next conversation, World War III, between Craig Wynn and Jalal Abu Awoob here on the Mike Gallagher Show. Guys, let's take some phone calls, shall we? 800-655-MIKE. We'll start with Mike on the Mike Gallagher Show. Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm reading straight out of the Quran on how a Muslim is supposed to conduct jihad. Now, this passage was quoted on Craig Wynn's website, Surah 9-5. It says, slay the infidels wherever you find them. But now the next verse was omitted by Craig Wynn. It says, but if any of the mushrikeen, meaning the idol worshippers, seek your protection, grant him protection so that he may hear the word of God and escort him to where he can be safe. And Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, said, do not kill women and children, and do not destroy inhabited places. I guess that includes the World Trade Center. So in light of these passages, my question is, why did Craig Wynn omit these passages, and how in God's name can a jihad-wielding Muslim commit an act of terror in light of these passages?
Craig?
Okay, first, deal with first the eighth surah, and we'll get directly to the ninth surah. Let me quote directly out of the Ahmad Ali translation of the Quran, copyright 1993, since I was accused of making it up. Quran 8:7 says, but when God wished to confirm the truth by his words, wipe the infidels out to the last. That's directly out of the Ahmad Ali Quran. Also, as it relates to the spoils of war surah and its motivation, how it came into being, Muhammad summoned the Muslims and said, the Quraysh caravan containing their property is coming. Go out and attack it. Perhaps Allah will give it to us as easy prey.
Let me finish.
The spoils of war surah was handed down because we quarreled about the booty.
Jalal, does the
ninth surah, please let me answer the caller's question. In terms of the ninth surah, in the chapter dedicated to the ninth surah, which was an attack on Christians in Turkey, I quoted every single verse of the ninth surah.
Jalal, does the Quran say wipe the infidels out to the last?
Absolutely not. He's making it up. He can't answer the question even. He can't answer
I
my
just
question.
Read it out of the Quran.
Does it say in the Quran, kill women and children in war?
But does it say wipe the infidels out to the last?
No, it doesn't. It says talks about war.
Well,
do you meet people on war to give them pizza? You killed them.
Yeah, but these Islamic terrorists believe they're in a war, don't they?
I'm telling you that they are wrong, just as wrong as Craig Wynn, because they are misinterpreting the Quran. Let me say this. He spoke more than me. Now, he says that they fought at the battle to rob a caravan. Did he read the Quran 22, 39, 40? Permission has been given to those who've been dealt with injustice. Those who were driven out of their homes without any justification except that said, Allah is our Lord. What's he talking about? Listen, the Prophet said in Bukhari and Muslim, do not kill women and children. Does this mean kill women and children? If a Muslim does it, he does it on his own. Muhammad said, Bukhari and Muslim, do not kill women and children. Do not, in another narration.
How about men? Are men okay? Are we safe?
Hello?
Hello? You keep talking about innocent women and children. How about innocent men, Jalal?
Same thing.
Okay.
All right, let me answer the woman charge. Asma bint Marwan. It says she was a person who was a journalist of her day, and she told her neighbors, "You obey a stranger who encourages you to murder for booty."
All right, guys, we're going to have to, I hate to do this, Craig, but we're going to have to do it at another time. But listen, we made a lot. Listen, Jalal, this was not a bad day, was it? I think this was pretty productive, don't you think?
Thank you very much, and I still challenge Wynn to a debate.
Well, we just had an hour, but we'll do it again. Craig Wynn, I appreciate you being on, both of you. You did a great job. And again, Craig Wynn's website, if you want more information, is www.prophetofdoom.net. Jalal Abu Arab's website is www.islamlife.com. Quite frankly, until we continue to have these kinds of conversations publicly, we're just not going to know the answers. And that's why I'm proud to have featured this kind of a conversation. And many thanks to the Islamic leaders who helped make it possible, because I've wanted both sides of this debate for a long time now. And we had it here on the Mike Gallagher Show.
ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين.
Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good instruction, and argue with them in a way that is best. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who has strayed from his way, and he is most knowing of who is rightly guided.
This audio was brought to you by invitationtotruth.com, islamlife.com, and examinethetruth.com. Thank you for listening. Please pass this audio on to everyone.